Blog Talk Radio.
Post as I post today and click on the one that says Season of Champions.
And I said, Blog Talk Radio. Click on that and you'll be with us. You'll be ready to go. We're glad to have you. And we'll talk some sports. We'll make it do what it do. If you want to tweet the show, you have several opportunities, vehicles to tweet the show. You can go to at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrow, the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, and at Coach underscore, and that's with a K, Coach underscore L underscore Smith. And you can tweet the show and be a part of it as well. Before I get into all our particulars and introduce my co-host, as well as the one that may not be on the line right now, I want to take this opportunity for us to get a moment of silence because we had an incident in a school, a shooting today. And, you know, it seemed like it continued to go on. We got to address these issues in our communities, in our homes, you know, so our school can be, again, a safe place. In Highland Ranch, Colorado, two student gunmen came in, opened fire on the classmate, injuring nine and killing one of their classmates. Kendrick Costello, 18-year-old student, a senior who's going to will be graduating in a month, he was heroic. When the gunman came in the classroom, he sit there calm, like they say, but he wanted to stop. So he jumped across the desk, grabbed the gunman, but he was shot in the process, and he was killed. He was heroic, but the bottom line is he saved the rest of his classmates in that classroom. However, as that the class helped him, even though he died in the process to capture the gunman, there was another gunman, a female, and she was in another classroom firing away at those individuals in the classroom. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with situations. So what we want to do is offer our prayers for the Highland Ranch community in Colorado. We want to offer our prayers for the school system, for those teachers, those students, those administrators, those parents, the whole community. We just want to do. We want to take 30 seconds and just be silent and just offer our prayers through that way. Awesome. I thank you for doing that. Also, we have a couple other things we consider to be house cleaning things. One of our co-hosts, and she won't be with us tonight, but one of our co-hosts having a birthday today. Coach Lauren D. Smith, our millennium, our lady of the hour. She turns 46 today. She's our millennium. May 8th, we'll say happy birthday to you, Lauren. I would sing the song, but I did it earlier. So she really laughed and enjoyed it. And my family know I'll call them and I'll sing the song to them. If I don't call you, that means I forgot about you, but when I see you again, I'll make sure I sing that song to you. And they just laugh, so it's a moment of joy, but we're truly being blessed and having her in our presence, even though she's not here. We know her spirit is here. She's here supporting us 100%. She's enjoying her birthday, so happy birthday, Lord. And to my youngest granddaughter, Riley Williams, this is her birthday as well. She's 6 years old, so I had an opportunity to text her mom today and let her mom know, to let Riley know that a granddad said happy birthday. So we're filled with joy. We feel what's happening. God is good. All right, so let's get ready to make this thing do what it's going to do here. Let me introduce that guest that's on the line. I'm sorry, now co-host that's on the line, not a guest, co-host. I'm so glad to have this young man. He's just one of those hard-eyed engines that we need so we can go. He hails from North Alabama. His home is Montgomery, but he works up in North Alabama. He's known as the King on this show. But also he's been known as the young man that has been saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
Hey. Glad to be here tonight, Dr. Smith. Miss y'all last week, man. Overslept from y'all jokers. I'm here this week, man. I'm catering an event outside, but I'm here, baby. I got headset, baby. Ready to roll, baby. Ready to roll.
Well, we're going to make it do what it do. You know what it's all about, you know. At this point, it's going to be you and I until we get another car. I know Darren's not going to be here, Lord, but on the Star Wars day, he's going to make sure he calls and he's going to be part of. And let me make sure I mention those other individuals that serve as our focal. Just our Tony Star. So Tony Stallworth, he's our high school aficionado, a resident expert. He said he's going to call in because Darren and I have been getting on him pretty hard. I want to make sure you call in because Darren said, I can't figure out. I'm taking a week off. Darren said he's getting a vacation, so he's taking his week off this week, so he won't be with us. And our other co-host is Darrell E. Trey Elliott. He's a done king of all things. He's a conductor of the E-Train, our radio personality, Darrell E-Train. All right, Trey, we might as well get this thing started. As you and I, we're going to make this thing work. We're going to make it do what it do. All right, so we're gonna look at our show title, which is Season of Champions. You know, we're at the end of the year. We're wrapping everything up. We're in the spring sports now. They're having banquets. They're handing out trophies and awards. They're doing all that. But we want to talk about some topics that are occurring on our Coach's Corner. I'm going to start out with this first one. And, Trey, I want you to share your thoughts on that, and I'll do the same. We're going to discuss why Matt Wilson, agent, stated that the Alabama people, when he said Alabama people, he's talking about the University of Alabama people, caused his stock to drop to the fifth round. Trey, tell me what you think about that. Tell me what you think about that.
Dr. Smith, we all knew, I'm going to say this, Matt Wilson wasn't ready for the NFL draft. So I don't think the people affected his stock. I'm going to say that. I believe it was all Matt Wilson. He affected his own stock by his play on the field. For him to say that the Alabama people affected his stock is absurd, Dr. Smith. I think Matt Wilson needed another year, but as an Alabama fan, I'm fine with him leaving. So I can't say that Alabama fans affected Matt Wilson's stock as far as his agent is saying. They watching film just like we watching film, Dr. Smith. I mean, I know football. And what Matt Wilson was doing, he was playing, but he wasn't playing with a drive, Dr. Smith. There were plays Matt Wilson could have made to make this season successful for Alabama that he didn't make. Dr. Smith, that's a touchy topic as far as him and for his fan base to say there's nothing else I can do at Alabama is absurd, Dr. Smith, because Matt Wilson is probably the worst linebacker that we've had come through for a minute. But I don't know, Dr. Smith. Let me hear your thoughts on that, Dr. Smith.
Let me tell you, Coach Edwards, you know, and I shared a few things with you as well as with Lauren. One of the things that concerned me about Mac Wilson was that it was his first year start. He was truly first year, and he's a junior. He was a junior because he'd be a senior coming up this coming year. And it's like that. You got to wait. But some of the things that got me when he did get a chance to play, he seemed to be always in the wrong position. And by being in the wrong position, they felt that they could use him in his year of a full-time starter, that concerned me, that he would be the play caller. But when you come on a broadcast after a game, even though you won the game, and said that, you know, when the question was asked, that Mac seemed like the defense was in the wrong play, what's going on? He said, Coach Saban always tell us, if you're going to go wrong, make sure all 11 go wrong. This is the stupidest stuff I've heard in my life. Anybody use that, that's another excuse for not doing what you're supposed to do. I just personally believe that he needed another year. But also, Trey, I shared with you all as well. My biggest concern is that if he stayed another year, Alabama will suffer next year in 2020. And the reason I'll say they'll suffer in 2020 is, yeah, they'll be stout at the linebacker position, the inside linebacker position with those players, with him and Daylon Moses. However, the problem was that we know Daylon is going in 2020, and if he go, who have enough time to be back there on a full-time basis? So I felt it was good that he left because it allowed a younger player to come in and learn and play the game at a high level and make some mistakes because we got Daylon Moss there. So you can get better than when Moss leaves, Moses leaves, automatically you are now continue on with your level play at a high level, having at least one linebacker with some maturity. That's the problem I had with him staying. When he said he was going to stay, I think you need to stay. But then when he said he was going to leave, I said, I'm glad you're gone. I'm just being honest about that. I don't pull no punches on that. And for his agent to come on and go to the advertisers and go to Channel 12 local news and say that Alabama is the reason his stock dropped. Let me tell you, first of all, I never thought he would go in the top four rounds. I never thought that. When I saw that projection when he was the third best inside linebacker, nah. But you got to realize how many available slots that's available for a team was signing linebackers, inside linebackers. And at the top two or three rounds, they wasn't signing many linebackers at that spot. They was going out to defensive linemen, rush ends, hybrid players. So he was neither one of that, neither one of those. So the bottom line is he fell right where I thought he would. I thought it would be the fifth. At one time, I thought he wouldn't be drafted at all, but he had an opportunity to go, and he going to the Cleveland Browns. He's trying to make the best of it. As the blog talk, the bloggers were saying in regards to him and where he was drafted and why, he fell so low, I just simply told them it don't even matter. The ideal is to get drafted, and when you get to camp, show up and show out. That's all you have to do. And then you can sign you a contract that's worth working for and make your living that way. If that's your dream, go there and work hard. It's all right to go there and be on the team, or if you even make the team, on the practice team. But before long, you got to find your real job. And that happened. Many of players from the University of Alabama, I saw one particular one, Nick Perry. He was up there with Baltimore Ravens, and he was up there on the practice squad getting paid a few thousand. Quite a few, over $30,000 to $40,000. However, that wasn't the job that he wanted. So I don't know if Mac will see it that way, and he'll do a lot of them, come back and start coaching, if that's in his future. But I thought he went exactly where he's supposed to have went, Trey. So I see no problem with that. I see no problem. So his agent, you got to remember now, I'm his agent. He's my client. I make money off him because I already gave him $20,000 or $30,000. When he come out, where he probably should have took anything and not even have an agent, and see how he's going to be drafted and see if he can come back. You know what I'm saying? And he wasn't able to come back. Then you go with it. But since you made the choice to take the money and become now a professional athlete, and now you don't get drafted where you're supposed to be drafted, that's the way it is. But the thing about it, you got drafted in the fifth round, you go there and make sure you make it happen. And the bottom line is you show up and show out. What do you think about that, Trey? I think Trey may have stepped away from the phone. But that's one of the things we want to make sure we share with you in regards to that. I don't think you can blame anybody for it or where Mac Wilson fell down to the fifth round. However, if he go there and do what he's supposed to do, he'll be all right. Call in number is 347-857-4192. All you have to do is press 1 if you have any comments or questions about this specific topic or any topics that we have. And then I'll recognize you the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I will definitely ask you to make sure, you identify yourself and identify where your location is. All right. We're going to move to the next topic.
Dr. Smith, I'm here, Dr. Smith. My sentiment,
okay.
Exactly, Dr. Smith. I agree totally with you right there.
Well, that's awesome. I'm telling you, because there's no reason to blame nobody now. You there, go up there and show up and show out, and you'll get a chance to make a roster. But it's something we're going to talk about in our next topic is, you know, we got NFL first-round draft choices versus fifth and seventh-round draft choices. And the question might be, why is this so important when you get drafted in probably the first three rounds, then to get drafted in the last three rounds? Trey, you want to share some thoughts on that?
Yes, sir, Dr. Smith. Totally. That's the difference of $10 and $12 million. Nick Saban bumped that up. You know, people look at Nick and act like he doesn't want the well-being of his players, saying he's selfish, you know, and want guys to stick around to help Nick out. But me, totally, I understood totally what Nick was saying about, you know, Matt Wilson, about Deontay Thomas. Let's don't leave him out, Dr. Smith. These guys left to be potential fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks. I mean, that's absurd for me. And their excuse is my family was, you know, sacrificing for me. It's time for me to sacrifice for them. I don't agree with that, Dr. Smith. Your family will take care of you as much as they can until you get to that promised land. I'm going to say that, Dr. Smith. Matt wasn't hurt for that. I'm going to say that right now. He wasn't hurt for that. People were supplying for Matt. They always been since he been in high school. So for him to say that is absurd. For Deontay to say that, I'm going to say this, Dr. Smith. I go to Alabama campuses quite often, and I look at that player's parking lot, Dr. Smith. That player parking lot has some whips in there, Dr. Smith. They got some whips in there. And everybody, family, I mean, I look at the background of these players. You know, I look at Calvin Ridley, number one. Calvin Ridley was a senior, too old in high school to play his senior year. So for him to be riding a challenger on campus, you hear me, Dr. Smith? A challenger on campus. I mean, it's something going on, and, you know, I ain't saying it's illegal or whatnot, Dr. Smith, but I'm going to still say this. Matt Wilson still had every pair of Jordans that came out on his feet and a lot of other stuff. So for them to say that is absurd, Dr. Smith, to say that they have to sacrifice for their family. Go and stay there, you know, get that extra 10 or 12 million that can help your family. I mean, it paid off for Josh Jacobs. It paid off for the other running back, Harris,
Damian.
So, I mean, trust the process, Dr. Smith. That's all I got to say with that situation.
And exactly, because if you look at it, and you can look at the Clemson players. Remember, Clemson had three players not to go, could have went last year, and they decided to step back, and all of them was drafted in that first round. So they're guaranteed at least $6.7 million fine and bone. But their contract will eventually muster out to be $20 million. But that signing bonus is the money cash they're going to get. They don't have to ask anybody for anything. They can use it on whatever they want to use on. If you want to help your family, you can help your family then. Now, when we're talking about first round, that's first round, second round. But when you start getting to that third round, that money decreases a whole lot. And when you get to the fourth round, even more. If you get to the fifth and sixth and seventh rounds, the possibility you're only going to be having up in the thousands of dollars. It might be the $100,000, but you won't get that bonus where it costs $6 million if you was drafted in the first and second round. And it's true. When you're told, that, you know, as Nick Saban shared with those guys, they need to go. They go to an exit interview, and in that exit interview, they talk about where you would go, where you would be. Would it be good you stay? Would it be good that you go? Come to a decision. Parents are in there. But it is amazing, especially with Matt Wilson, and we're talking about him, but where he was drafted falls in his next topic we just started on about the draft choices. He was told, and his mom came on the news and said he was going to be there. He wasn't leaving. And next thing I know, he's now leaving. And all of a sudden, now you're upset he dropped down to the fifth round. it wouldn't have hurt him, Trey, I tell you personally. He would have stayed on for through his senior year, meaning he'll stay there and play 3 years, and he could have been a first-line draft choice. Even when he went out went out this year coming up in 1920, which would be 20, he still would probably be third or fourth line. If not, if he had waited on to 20 or 21, he could have been maybe a first line if he didn't get hurt or anything. So those are the kind of things you got to look at. Just because you've been up there 2 or 3 years, but this is your first year starting, you could use 2 more years. Damon Harris thought it was the best thing to do. Dexter Lawrence at Clemson thought it was the best thing. Cleveland Farrell thought it was the best thing. Look, they was drafted up in the top 20. So I'm telling you, stay there and look. Not only just as I was telling Trey that was good he was leaving because he probably would leave next year, but if his mind wasn't focused on it, and then he wasn't ready to do what they asked him to do to get better, then he could have stayed an additional year and got even better. And his choices would have went up. Sometimes you make decisions. And as Trey said, you see those whips out in the parking lot. Some of these young people got all kind of cars. You got to understand now, this ain't 30 years ago. This ain't 40 years ago. These young people, parents are buying them cars. And some of the students I see over to the university where I work at got better cars than I dreamed of. They riding them brand new cars. So get a car is nothing to get. And have a nice car is nothing wrong with it. So if that's something you want. Then you get that voucher each month, especially if you stay off campus, range of $1,500 a month. It's like a job. So the thing about it, you in school to work, go to school, work on that football field or that basketball court or whatever it is, and you got your own apartment, they provide you monthly payments and everything, you're able to do everything. Come on, man, don't look down on that. Look at that as a positive thing. Give you a good thing, and as we had a discussion on last show about degree, get your degree. Nothing wrong with getting your degree. You have to have something to fall back on. You may play professional football, but you got to have something to fall back on. You make all the money, you go buy your degree when you finish playing professional football. Yeah, several players that go to these online universities and different universities and got their degree. You know, you had one of the most well-known Alabama players, Joe Namath, come back and just graduated from the University of Alabama about 4 or 5. He graduated with his granddaughter, with his daughter, some granddaughter, I believe. So the thing about it, you can always come back to school, but you're not going to be in that position if you're not able to make that money. So you got to consider it, but a degree is important, and I want to keep that in mind. All right, next topic we want to talk about is football factor. And when we look at the football factor, we want to look at two particular programs. And the question will be, which college football program alumnus make up the better roster in the NFL between the University of Alabama, Ohio State, and any other school you want to put in there over the last 5 years? And I'm going to just kind of give some thoughts on that, get some background on that. You know, they call these schools football factor. Players that go there to play football, stay there 2-3 years, and they leave and go in the NFL. You have the University of Alabama in the last 5 years has had 46 players drafted in 5 years. So you're looking at over eight players each year being drafted or in the NFL in some form or some fashion. Then you have Ohio State, who's second with 40 players. So we'll take those two schools. Are they football factors? Look at the roster that make up. You look at some of the players that's from the University of Alabama, some of the players from Ohio State, and you kind of see what exactly is going on. I know you can just kind of see they're producing these great players at every position, and they're making a lot of money. They're making up the roster. So we want to know what would be the better roster. Now, there was some discussion. Now, we started with the University of Alabama versus Ohio State, and they kind of used Dwayne Haskins as the player that, since he's been drafted, as elevate the quarterback position at Ohio State in the NFL, a former alumnus of Ohio State at that point. Alabama didn't have. They had A.J. McCarron, and he was not that player. He never really started, never got his feet on the ground. He just basically been out there playing backup, and he was not. But you go and look at those running backs. You know, Ohio State got Ezekiel Elliott. Then Alabama has Mark Ingram. You know, he has set some records. And then you had several other players that had come out. Derrick Henry. And they said, well, they give them the edge on that end. Then you look at receivers. You got so many receivers that come out of Ohio State as well as Alabama that are on the roster right now. And we just look at so many players. So that's something they talk about. Which one is the better football factor would make up the better roster in the NFL? Trey, you have any thoughts on that?
Roll Tide, baby. I'm rolling with the Tide, man. The only position that I can see us not dominating in, Dr. Smith, is the quarterback position.
Awesome.
And that's been a change in the next couple of years. I'm going to say that, Dr. Smith.
Exactly. And you're thinking the same way they are talking here in the comments. They said that will be changing with Tua coming out in 2020. Then a possibility, probably 21, 22, it'll be Tua, younger brother, or it's going to be Tyson. It's going to be two of those individuals coming out that's going to continue to elevate that level of play on the NFL level for the University of Alabama. So they are the better football factor. If they want that claim, they can have making up the best roster in the NFL from the draft choices in the last 5 years. That's what we're talking about. You can be a call in this as well. Call in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, share your comments and your questions. Identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Mute your phone, please, so we'll get in background noises. Then you identify yourself, come with your question or comment. All right, next thing we want to look at, Trey. We're going to look at the NBA. We got the NBA on now, but we'll talk a little about, and that's Boston and Milwaukee. And Milwaukee was up by 7 or 8 points at halftime. We're going to talk about the Lakers. Should LeBron regret joining the Lakers after admitting he was blindsided by Magic? Trey, you want to jump in on that one?
I think he okay, Dr. Smith. It's a lot of stuff going on with us right now. And I'm going to stop getting excited about the people that, coming to the program and whatnot. Because this time I don't lose, then threw me off too. That railroaded me too. For us to go from potentially hiring this guy to the talking just stops. So as far as stuff like that, I'm going to just stop getting excited, because every time I get excited, I get shot down, Dr. Smith. But LeBron just got to sit tight, man. Let's roll, man. He'll get together. Sit tight and let's roll, Dr. Smith.
Yeah. And things are going to get a little brighter, when they do make the decision. But it is so strange it's taking them this long. It ain't nothing you got to iron out when you compare him to Luke Walton. I'm just not understanding what is the problem there. Because you can't say Monty Williams would have been a better choice, because Monty Williams already made his mind up. He's going to go with the Phoenix Suns or with his team. He really didn't want to step into that dysfunctional front office. They're going to have to get it together. Jeannie Buss got to stop listening to people. Kurt Rambis' wife, stop listening to Kurt Rambis, because those people don't even understand exactly what's going on here. They got to have some functioning people in that. Can't be dysfunctional. And if it continue on and to get anybody get upset, if LeBron said, get me out of here, get me out of here. The guards here in the last 3 or 4 years of the contract. You want to have a little peace. You don't want all this craziness. You want somebody that can make the decisions that need to be made. He can't. He may be a coach killer, some people say. I don't say that. But the bottom line is the front office got to be able to function enough to make that decision. But this decision that in regards to Magic leaving, everybody might not like the way he did it. But the bottom line, something is going on, and that was going on. And the decision, the way he took about it, LeBron said he went about it. LeBron even said, why didn't he come to me? Why didn't he just scare his thought and say he was not come? Because LeBron, in essence, said one of the reasons why I come here is because of Magic Johnson. Sitting at my doorsteps at 12:01 and talked about how the things he's going to do at the Lakers, then you leave and you blindside me by not even telling me. and he shared his point of view. He's going, you know, it's not so much for LeBron to talk. It's time for Magic just to share something, the reason why he left. And it got to be the reason why. I don't know if you want to call, but you got to call a spade. You got to call out some of these people that's in that front office. Is Rob Pelinka was undermining you? And you got to be said. If Virginia Buston feel like she got to continue with Rob Pelinka, I didn't want to get out of that too. I don't want to deal with that kind of function. I don't want to deal with that dysfunction. I want to deal with somebody that's going to do what's right to make this story franchise. La La Land, the Lakers, again, great again. It's not going to be great with this dysfunctional stuff. You have the right people in as the president of operations. You got to have the right coach in there, and that way some people will want to come there. Now, we're going to kind of look at the hiring of Tyronn Lue. Now, I don't know what's the problem with that, Trey. You know, maybe you heard something different in regards to him. But I thought they were working out the contract situation because, you know, I'm just trying to understand what more you got to work out. You know, so if it's dysfunctional up there and you having somebody you working with trying to negotiate a contract with, you may not know what they're doing. So that's one of the things that might be the hold up for Tyronn Lue. Trey, what do you think about that right there?
Dr. Smith, that talk right there is dead. I was, you know, my phone popped today, you know, ESPN, and told me the talks with Tyronn Lue were done. So I'm moving on, trying to look at my next coach, Dr. Smith. I'm done with Tyronn Lue too. Get that joke up out of there.
Okay. So you leave with a situation that you're gonna have to have somebody to be able to. LeBron, to work with LeBron, you just can't bring anybody in there. And the thing about it, you didn't even give Mark Jackson a chance to be in the top two. So my thing is, if you thought that would be one LeBron would love to have, what killed the talk? You know what I'm saying? What killed the talk? I'm telling you, this front office is dysfunctional. Something is not right there. And you don't kill talk on stuff that you can simply come to a conclusion. Because you're giving the man what he wants, giving LeBron what he wants. The man didn't come there to go through all this foolishness. That's why I keep saying, is it all right for LeBron to regret signing with him? It ain't going to be all right if you can't give him what he wants, because I don't see nobody else that he really wants to work with or wants to work with him. So let's consider that. Maybe that may hurt the Lakers by not doing that and coming to you. If they wanted to be hard on it, they had no room to be hard. They needed the best coach. So now as we get to free agents, these free agents are not going to sign with the Lakers if they ain't got a coach they think that got winning pedigree. They're not going. They need somebody that won a championship. They're not going to sign. You're not going to get one of the top free agents just to come over if you don't have anybody over there. That's just the bottom line. So they're going to have to get their stuff together. They're going to have to do something. They got to correct this functionality so they can make sure they do it. So if he was not the selection and then broke off talk, you know, you got to understand now, that's who LeBron wanted. So what are you going to deal with? Are you just comfortable with taking anybody that's not going to be able to function with LeBron? So we'll keep an eye on that. The call in number is 347-857-4192. So we're kind of looking at this situation. The Lakers still dysfunctional. Get it straight. Get it right. Get the right people in the right place, Genie Bus, or move out the way yourself. Something got to happen. All right, let's look at Kawhi Leonard. Some people believing that he is better than Kobe in the clutch. Some people believe Kawhi Leonard is better than Kobe in the clutch. And it's been a lot of talk by the talking heads and the Thomas talking about this, and you know, I'm a little concerned. I'm saying, where are you comparing? Are you comparing one or two games or one series? Or because you can't compare one or two games, or you got to compare the complete career up until this point. We'll know what Kawhi will do in the future, but if you don't compare him against Kobe, you got to go back and look at Kobe clutch moments compared to Kawhi clutch moments and see exactly. Is there some compatibility there? Or Kawhi better than COVID, which I don't believe that. So I'm not with that talk. I don't want to hear that foolishness. Kobe was, the Black Mamba was the all great. And I'm just saying he was clutch. He would make it happen. He won five championships. So the bottom line is, and he won two or three of them when all the players that he probably would have and was a part of had left. Like Shaq. Shaq had left. He still won a couple championships. So Black Mamba would play. I don't know whether Kawhi is there yet. His game is old traditional type game. He's scoring 39, right at 38 points a game in his playoff, but he's not the clutch player that Kobe. Trey, you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know, Dr. Smith. Now, you know, they say the numbers don't lie, man. But I was more of a Mamba fan. But like I said, Dr. Smith, I would have took Kawhi over LeBron right now as far as what he does for your team, Dr. Smith. I'm looking at that 6'8 frame, and he's not a baby. He don't come with all the drama, Dr. Smith. I'm gonna just say that. So shoot, I'm it's close now. You depend on where he go next year, Dr. Smith. I might be on that train, but I'm gonna get to the next topic, and I'm gonna tell you who I'm with for these finals, Dr. Smith. When you get ready to touch that, I'm gonna tell you who I'm going with. It's a dog horse, baby. It's a dog horse, baby.
And just to kind of look at, as you were saying about Kawhi and where you're going, the biggest problem with players like Kawhi and players like even now Kyrie Irving, they need somebody else to be the leader. They can't be the leader because they're too quiet and they're not aggressive enough. That's one of the biggest problems. That's why when you're talking about clutch, you're talking about Kobe when it became clutch time to take over the Lakers. He took over the Lakers. Kawhi's not going to do that. If he do it, it's quietly. Even with the team he's playing with, they're having some success, but he needs to have somebody else. I don't think he can be the person that's going to lead like a LeBron. He can't do that because he's too quiet, and he can let my game speak to for me. But in this league, they want to hear you to be able to talk up. They want you to be able to not have that old corny laugh that you have. Yeah, they want to see you on the float, but then you still got to be able to lead these guys, and I think that's one of the biggest things. He would always be the second player. That's why when they talk about him leaving, going to a team, he always going with somebody with that can handle that kind of the good and the bad and the indifference, whereas he just not quite. He'd go back in the shell. He won't do that. So that's one of his biggest things. His play is awesome on the court, but not to be the one to lead. And the bottom line, yes, he has a great tournament, but the truth of the matter is he really, really the leader they have. He's a quiet leader. So let's think about that with Toronto. He's doing it because I got to up my stock so I can go where I want to go. And I don't think Toronto is his final destination. So we see this play because of that, I think, personally. But if you want to be a part of it, 347-857-4192. Share your thoughts as well. We have some awesome topics that we're already discussing. If you want to talk about something, we already shared some thoughts on it. You can do the same thing. Press 1, ask your question or comment. Once I identify by the last 4 digits of your cell and your telephone number, then I want you to tell us who you are and your location, and then we'll go from there. All right, Trey, are we going to talk about a little Kyrie Irving? About Kyrie Irving failing as being the big dog. He wanted his own team. He couldn't play with LeBron. He wanted to prove it. But I don't think he's able to prove it. I think he needs a player like LeBron. He needs a player like KD. Somebody else to take the heat off because he has proved he can't handle these young guys. You got any thoughts on that, Chris?
Totally, Dr. Smith. He apologized to LeBron about, you know, being a leader for your team. Like you said, Dr. Smith, Kawhi and Kyrie are quiet leaders. Like you say, Dr. Smith, they lead by their gameplay. But the deeper you get in these playoffs, Dr. Smith, you got to lead with your mouth. And people don't realize that you got to have a vocal leader of the team. And if he's not doing it, who does it? Boston don't have anyone on their roster to lead the team by being vocal because they don't have the clout. They got a couple guys that can play, but they still don't have the experience to have the clout. You know, Gordon Hayward was predicted to be that guy. Gordon Hayward's production has went down. So he can't lead by his play on the court, but he making lead by his mouth. But that's not the fact with them. With Toronto, Toronto has Marc Gasol. So I'm going to give them a bit of an edge over Kyrie. But, shoot, it's tough to lead with your player and going deep in these playoffs. And Kyrie understood that. I don't see Kyrie being with his own team, like you said, Dr. Smith. He won't be with his own team next year. I think he's fishing, trying to get somewhere so he can win him another championship. He will not get a championship with the Boston Celtics. I'm gonna say that now. Shoot. And Dr. Smith, with that said, I'm picking the Bucks to be the dark horse in the East to come out that East, Dr. Smith. I think they have enough. The Greek Freak is a freak. He's getting off. And I picked them when the playoffs start. I just like the way they play, man. They play defense, and they have and another team out the West that people don't go with. I like Denver, Dr. Smith. Denver is very productive with no name guys. They have one player, the Joker, Jokic. But other than that, they are built the same way as the Milwaukee Bucks, and I like both of those teams to meet up in the finals. So I'm predicting Milwaukee versus the Denver Nuggets, Dr. Smith. I know I'm out on the limb, but I'm out there, Dr. Smith.
And I can go along with Milwaukee because I don't think anybody can play Milwaukee, Toronto or not. But until Golden State lose, I can't pick nobody else. I just can't because I just believe that they got too much firepower and they're gonna come together and they're gonna do what they need to do, and I don't think Denver have enough. No, you're just not gonna be able to beat Golden State with what they got going on. That was proven throughout the season. I think it's one or two games different, but that meant a lot. When they needed to win, they couldn't win because Golden State steps up. So yes, I think Milwaukee will come out the East. I personally, because they look like they're on their way to a 4-1. I feel like a sweep. Everybody talking about 4-0 sweep. Now, 4-1 is a sweep to me against the Boston Celtics. So they're going to come out the East, and I think Golden State will come out of the West. And I just think those numbers are not going to allow, and those shooters are not going to lay down in this thing, whereas this other team can match up with them. They hard, they play, they long, but them shooters. I think the difference between Houston and the Warriors now, I think the Warriors got it just like that Steve Kerr said, you know, they volleyball players again playing against linebackers, football players. They allowed them to get away playing that way. But I think it happened like that because they wanted the series to be equal and 2-2. And they allowed them to be a little bit more physical on those much slender basketball players. So I think they got away with that, but I don't think they'll get away with it tonight. I think they'll get beat. And I'm talking about Houston, and it's not going to be as close as everybody think. I don't care what James Harden do, because those shooters are going to light them up, because they can't take away from the shooters, those shooters are going to shoot. Now, you can hit them here and there, but it's going to be called. It's just a little different game when you get at home and you're on the road. So I like Milwaukee to come out of the East. I do agree with you on that one, Trey, but I can't agree with Denver because they don't have enough firepower. They don't have a bitch.
Underdog, baby.
Milwaukee was the underdog because Milwaukee was not picked nowhere to be in the finals. You have Boston and you had Golden State. Everybody already knew game Golden State in that match. So for Milwaukee to come out the East, that is an underdog making it to the championship game. I mean, making it to the series. So that is it. But I don't think, and I'm honestly telling you, Jokic might be doing what they're doing, but they come to get that firepower start fired up. They don't have the players to play with. And it experience does matter. Experience does matter. And I think that's important right there. Now, I think Golden State get through Houston. Yeah. The experience going to play, and they're going to play at another level where those teams that never been there have not been there and not capable of doing. That's just my belief about experience. I don't slam on. I'm not taking away from anything those two teams doing, but I think Milwaukee will, because they're already up by 15, 20 points right now, and probably 15, maybe 13, 15 points on the Celtics in the third quarter. So it looks like it's going to be coming to the end for the Celtics very soon. Very soon. So Kyrie, his last time in that uniform. Maybe the Celtics now, they can grow together as young boys, young guys with a young coach. They was putting him up with Greg Popovich. Oh, he's a geek. Man, he couldn't handle those guys. So once he brought back his boy, Gordon Hayward, that shouldn't have been in a starting lineup because he was hurt. And he's still hurt. His production is down. He finally got a little bit going on. It's too late because these teams realize you continue to be physical, he ain't going to want to be a part of. So we'll see Milwaukee in the championship game. Pray I agree with that, but I think Golden State still, until somebody beat Golden State going to be right back in it. Just too much firepower. And I'm not a Golden State man. And I boiled with Cleveland last year and found out. So the bottom line is we got a situation here that we're going to have a new phase from the East, but we also going to have the same, I feel the same phase from the West. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how that goes. So I ain't worried about one of the questions we had tonight. Are you worried about the Warriors? No, I'm not worried about it because I know the shooting going to get going. But at the end of this season, I want you to pay close attention to a trade where you got possibility one of the Splash Brothers, they're going to try hard. One of the Splash Brothers going to be leaving there. It won't be Stephen Curry, so that means that Thompson going to be out of there. He might be on L.A. He might be brought. They holler about they need to get all the other people. He gets the Splash Brother, and then he can get him another big man that's aggressive. I was thinking about playing as part of my brother. You know, physical, talk a lot of stuff, bump people around. You know who it is. Man in the middle for the Golden State. Boy, I got it. I just believe you need a man now that's going to knock somebody around. So, Draymond Green. So, we'll kind of see how they might have two of them over there. You never know. They got to get paid. They don't have to be KD. Because KD, I feel like he's not going to go anywhere. If them two leave or one of them leave, meaning one of the Splash Brothers leave, he's going to stay. They're going to do everything to keep him. So, we'll kind of keep an eye on that. And then if they bang Kemba Walker, I think they'll be pretty good. The rest of them are little clowns. They can find something else for them to do. I think they ought to trade Ben Simmons for one of them boys. Maybe Ben Simmons, he ain't got to shoot there. He won't cut up the middle with the MB. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's my thought. So we're going to check it out and see how things are going to be. And we just, have Austin Law tonight. Call in number 347-857-4192. And we're going to move to historical black colleges and universities. Craig's going to do some storylines. It's based on some of the things that happened in regards to the we'll talk about the draft. Just a little bit. We'll take a minute and talk about the draft because there's some follow-up information. As you know, the first player ever in Alabama State history to be drafted in the first round was drafted on last Thursday night. 2 weeks ago Thursday night, and it was talking about his contract. His signing bonus for those players would be $6.5 million, $6.8 million. That's money he gets to put in the bank. Now, he will get that 20, they're going to have that cap on that rookie salary with $20 million. So that $20 million will be available for him. And from a little small town called Monroeville, Alabama, from a player that was a quarterback, who grew 3 inches at 87 pounds, was a walk-on at Alabama State and get drafted 23rd pick. And as was said last week, Reggie Ballo said it well, out of 774 schools that play football, only 23 or 22 teams had players drafted in that first 23 picks, and Alabama State fell in that category. So we say hoorah, we say congratulations, sign that contract that can help your family, and that's what you ask for, to get a chance to play from the small school. In the small school, you get a chance to move the needle to another level, and you'll continue to see that you can come out of the small school as well as the big school. Might not be as many, but if you get one or two every now and then, you have a great opportunity to put your program on the map and keep it going by
getting players. Yes, sir.
And also, you all had a player called Bethune, Trey out of Alabama A&M.
Y'all have a player?
Bethune. Yeah, they said I got
you're Bethune.
He was drafted. He was there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was drafted by the left.
Because
he's one of my frat brothers. That's why I say I'm a plug one of my brothers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, you're not drafted. I said, yeah. But I had a chance to play or sign. You know, they drafted. He was signed. So we look for some real positive things out of Bethune, as well as Tyson, Titus Howard, as well as Teron Ramsey, who signed a free agent contract, but he was in chance. Several other players had the same opportunity. So we look forward for historical black colleges and universities to make an impact 2019 in the NFL, as well as coming in 2020. So Trey is going to awesome show tonight. We're going to get ready to close this thing out. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. You got any thoughts you want to leave with them? I did want to take a minute and say something about some of these playing sports in the Division One are the more or less in the historical black colleges. If you give me a minute, I want to talk about in the SWAC and a guest that we had on the program. We had a guest on this program that talked to us about track and field, cross country, and that's Coach Richard Bean. Coach Richard Bean, again, won the SWAC championship again, men and women, in 2019. He won the cross country, and he won the indoor, and now he wins both of the men and women for the SWAC track and field for 2019. So, Rob, I want to give a shout-out to him for sure, and tell him to keep on grinding. A couple other things that happened in the SWAC, we have Cynthia Cooper Dyke returning to Texas Southern University's head basketball coach. Then we have a new person that then came through one of the historical black colleges, played in the pros for many years, Lindsey Hunter. He will be introduced and has been introduced as the head coach of Mississippi Valley State University, head basketball coach. So that's some great news to hear the change of coaches, some coaches that have a well-known history about behind them, because Cooper Dykes, she was coach over there at Texas Southern, and she just won championship. So that puts another, wrinkle in this thing, put another challenging point. Now Lindsey Hunter is gonna come in and try to change the landscape at Mississippi Valley State University. There's some other things going on, but we're gonna talk about them next week. Trey, we're about to wrap it up. Any thoughts you wanna share with them about what's going on, even with AAU, or even anything else you want to share your thoughts with as we close?
Not many, Dr. Smith. Just one thing. I was reluctant to coach a player that was ranked top 25 in the state of Alabama, Jamari Arnold. Been playing up in 17U in AAU. Been playing great. And also my kids ahead of them. They play with the Alabama Fusion. They've been making some noise, too. Had a big-time tournament win last week in Birmingham. Great night tonight, Dr. Smith. Got some me time with you. You know, me and you doing the show. Glad to be here. Looking forward to hey, we got to have the whole staff here next week, Dr. Smith. We got to have them jokes here.
Yes, sir.
Not much, Dr. Smith, but I'm going to leave you with this one. And I'm going to head on out the door.
Okay.
Nook, if you Bucks, go Milwaukee. Got Milwaukee winning this thing, Dr. Smith. Y'all all hold
right,
it down, Dr. Smith. Good night, y'all.
We will. Good night, Trey. Thank you so much, Trey. that's that young man always said, he tried to do a couple things going back and forth, a little bit. He got to work that event. He's coming out talking on the phone. That's why I was hesitation when he came in. We appreciate it. The rest of the group is not here, but we appreciate having them as well. We look to have a full staff next week. So as we get to the closing of the hour, check us out on Friday with Balling with the Doc at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I tell everybody, we always have a good time. Hashtag communicate for understanding. Hashtag keep on grinding. And last but not least, I always tell y'all, you don't understand what I've gone through and what I'm about to go through. if you hadn't walked in my shoes. I love you, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night.
Lost my wife, my car, my home. I almost lost my mind, yeah. Oh, Lord. My will was tested, got arrested. It's hard to keep me from crying, yeah. Oh. I've been going through some pain.